This service is being recorded, and the entire service recording will be available on the password-protected member page of our website. Our prelude is Hush, Little Baby, performed by Mary Sue Roydebach. Another talent from our minister. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. Whether you're connecting via Zoom or here in person, we are one community today, united in love and purpose. My name is Ann Pryor, she, her. I have been a member of Prairie for 30 years. I started out as the director of religious education in 1988 and became a member after that in 1995. My two daughters grew up attending here at Prairie, and currently the editor of our monthly newsletter, the Prairie Fire, deadline approaching, and chair of the Committee on Ministry. And now, our welcoming words. We welcome you. We know you come here for different reasons, to find community, to seek your spiritual or personal truths, to question, to nurture your heart and soul, to be nurtured, to explore new ideas, to find comfort, or perhaps to find the answers to some of your bigger questions. We welcome you. We know you come from different places, different religions, different beliefs, and different backgrounds. We hope you will find comfort, connection, challenge, and love here. We hope you will find ways to provide outreach to others in our congregation, in our local community, and in our world community. Our chalice lighting today is Sova Alla, Sleep All, a Swedish lullaby by Astrid Lindgren and George Rydell, translated by Carl Anderson and read by our Swedish-speaking, but she'll read it in English, Eileen Nettleton.
Sleep All. Sleep all the waves on the wide sea now. Sleep all. Sleep all the winds of the sea now. Waves and winds that live on the sea, now they have all soon gone to sleep, sleep. Sleep all. Sleep all. Windy green forests now. Sleep all. Dream also. Slumber also ye. The trees in the forest, they are sleeping now. Wait, soon you will sleep too.
Thank you. Our opening music is number 49 in the Gray Hymnal, Stillness Reigns, accompanied by Carlene Tyszynski. Please rise in body and or spirit. Today's story for all ages is Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod by Eugene W. Field, illustrated by Giselle Potter, and read by our Director of Religious Exploration, Karen Deaton.
Youth, come on up, kids.
Are welcome to gather around up front to listen to the story, and after the story, we will sing our youth out, the lyrics for which are on the order of service.
It is so nice to see all of you. This story is about these three guys. Come on up. Maybe, Balaam, you could scoot over a little bit and make some room for some more to come in. There's Naomi and Jimena. Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod is an old Dutch poem, but this book is illustrated by Giselle Potter. Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. This book is made for Pia, Isabel, and Keir. And the author also says, thank you, Anne and Lee. Here they are. Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod one night sailed off in a wooden shoe. Sailed on a river of crystal light into a sea of dew. Where are you going and what do you wish? The old moon asked the three. We have come to fish for the herring fish that live in this beautiful sea. Nets of silver and gold have we, said Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. The old moon laughed and sang a song as they rocked in the wooden shoe, and the wind that sped them all night long ruffled the waves of dew. The little stars were the herring fish that lived in that beautiful sea. Now cast your nets wherever you wish. Never afraid are we. So cried the stars to the fishermen three, Wynken, Blynken, and Nod. All night long their nets they threw to the stars in the twinkling foam. Then down from the skies came the wooden shoe, bringing the fishermen home. 'Twas all so pretty a sail, it seemed as if it could not be. And some folks thought 'twas a dream they dreamed of sailing the beautiful sea. But I shall tell you, the fishermen three, Wynken, Blynken, and Nod. Wynken and Blynken are two little eyes, and Nod is a little head. And the wooden shoe that sailed the skies is a wee one's trundle bed. So shut your eyes while Mother sings of wonderful sights that be. Hi, Laura. And you shall see the beautiful things as you rock in the misty sea where the old shoe rocked the fishermen three. Wynken, Blynken, and Nod. What do you think that's about? What do you think's happening there? You like that story? Okay, we're gonna go downstairs.
Let us join our hearts and enter into a minute of meditation. I'll ring the chime again at the end of our time of silence. Our presentation today is entitled Lullabies, the Wisdom and Science of Soothing. And it's presented by our pastoral care minister, Mary Sue Roydeboek.
Good morning. I am Mary Sue Roydeboek. My pronouns are she, her, hers. Author Whitney Johnson writes, "The song comes alive as night draws in. Hear it. Curl beneath the blanket. Slip between the fold of cradling arms in rooms across the world." To an audience of children, a hidden chorus of caregivers fills the night with song. They're singing lullabies. A lullaby is more than a song. It's a melody of love, a rhythm of tenderness, a demonstration of devotion. When I first took a look at lullabies in a cultural anthropology class, it was amazing to learn that the oldest known lullaby is a Babylonian lullaby inscribed on a clay tablet dating back around 4,000 years. They've been around a while. I was also intrigued to learn a few theories about the origins of the word lullaby. One that seems fairly intuitive is lull, as to soothe, and by, the classic farewell. Another theory that has been linked to the origin of the word lullaby comes from Hebrew folklore. Lilith is a character in Hebrew folklore who was said to steal children away in the night. And Lilith Abi literally translates to Lilith be gone. This theory aligns with the history of lullabies and nighttime prayers used as charms to ward off evil spirits. This was helpful to me as it offers some context for the emphasis on protection and guidance from cultures around the world. Without doubt, lullabies are an integral part of our human story. We inherit them and we pass them on. We carry lullabies across borders and make new ones along the way. They contain the traces of those who came before us, and they will carry traces of us long after we're gone. Within these songs, we express not just our greatest fears, but in the same breath, our hopes, our dreams. They are likely to be the first love songs children hear. Sung across borders, lullabies echo the histories of those who sing them. They typically hold the hope of a peaceful night and the promise of a new day to come. The poet William Stafford captures the hope of a new day when he writes, "The ordinary miracles begin. Somewhere a signal arrives now, and the rays come down. A tomorrow has come. Open your hands, lift them. Morning rings all the doorbells." For my friend Hannah, her lullaby was the nightly plea to Allah for a new day for her children. Our family has dear friends in Whitewater who first came to the U.S. as refugees from Kosovo. Hannah, the mother, once shared with me the story of lullabies she sang to her children in the refugee camp when they were exiled from their Kosovo home. Hannah's lullabies were gentle, sung prayers, bringing comfort and hope to her children, but to her, that they would see a new day and live safely within it. This one, translated from Albanian to English, says, "O guns that fly in the sky, do not strike the children. Allah, be tender and kind to these children. They want to see tomorrow and know the goodness in life." There are also lullabies where the melody might be rhythmic and comforting, like Hannah's, but the words are not. And to this point, I have another story to share. As many of you know, I worked in Montessori education for several years. I had an intern teacher working with me who was from Korea, and her area of focus was lullabies within cultural practices. One morning, she hosted an event where the children and parents shared the songs, their lullabies, that they sing and hear at night, and how this helps them fall asleep. Being in a college town, West Lafayette, Indiana, home to Purdue University, it was amazing and beautiful to hear the different songs and music described from many cultures throughout the world. One of the families, both parents and grandparents from the U.S., sang their evening lullaby. And you know it, so you can sing with me. The family sang, "Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come, baby, cradle and all." I looked at the confusion and a little shock in my intern's face, and she said, "The baby is left in a tree on a limb, and the baby falls from the tree, and you sing this to your children? Although it was not a lullaby sung to me or one I sang to children, I was well aware of the melody and words, and I had never really given them much thought until that moment. Right after, I did a little research regarding the song's history. There are various theories about the song's origins, including one suggesting it was written by an English Mayflower colonist who observed Native American women rocking their babies in birch bark cradles suspended from the trees. Some historians believe the rhyme was written in response to King James II's conversion to Catholicism and the birth of his son in 1688, which many feared would lead to a Catholic dynasty in England. The final line, "Down will come baby, cradle and all," can be interpreted as a literal or metaphorical fall from a high place, suggesting a loss of status or a tragic end. The rhyme is believed to have first appeared in print sometime in the 1700s in a Mother Goose's melody as "Hushabye, baby," at the start of the first line. By the late 1800s, everything I could find, "Rockabye, baby" was a popular American lullaby ballad. Although the words are dark, the melody hits the mark in terms of a slow tempo, simple melody, and repetitive structure. Other familiar songs that are often considered lullabies are Christmas carols. I have a dear friend in my book group who sings "Silent Night" every night to her children. In fact, if we are out for dinner, she will excuse herself from the table, true story, and find a quiet space to call home and sing "Silent Night" to them. My friend shared with me that she does not sing this song or other Christmas carols to her children because of the Christian story. In fact, that has nothing to do with it for her. She explained they are songs she knew the words to. They are familiar. Also, their beautiful melody coupled with the wonder of a peaceful starry night like "Silent Night," "O Holy Night," "Away in a Manger" made for lovely lullabies. Now, these carols, lullabies, are part of her children's childhood, their stories, their rituals, their memories. Like many of you, we had an amazing, beautiful evening routine with our son, Jeremy. When he was a baby, I would sing, tell a story, and then sing again. If I changed the sequence, Jeremy would correct me, "No, Mama, you sing this next." Then after this simple ritual, he would hold my hand, and he was out. I felt like it was some kind of magic. My very active, talkative, busy child was within minutes asleep. Well, research does indicate it is probably more than magic. It is also science. Professor Tiffany Field of the Medical School at the University of Miami points out that lullabies are typically slow and rhythmical. This can help calm children's thoughts so they can lull themselves to sleep. Dr. Field did a study of toddlers and preschools taking naps in the university nursery. The teachers played classical music at the beginning of nap time. With the toddlers, there was a 35% faster sleep onset with the preschoolers. But with the preschoolers, there was a 19% faster sleep onset. I am sure the teachers appreciated this research experience. But what about rocking or snuggling? According to Dr. Jade Wu, a behavioral sleep medicine psychologist who studied at Duke University, says snuggling a baby while singing a lullaby can also promote the release of the hormone oxytocin, the so-called love hormone, that Dr. Wu says promotes a sense of well-being, safety, and relaxation. Any calming music in the background can add a calming element to the bonding, but singing specifically can be helpful. Your body vibrates as you sing, which is soothing for the baby, just like a vibrating swing. Dr. Sam Mayer, who directs the music lab and the University of Auckland, has conducted research that indicates singing, white noise, back rubs can all have similar effects in the aid of helping to relax the child. But there is just something about lullabies, says Dr. Mayer. Dr. Mayer's team did a study where they played songs for infants in an unfamiliar language. Some of the songs were lullabies and some weren't. They found that listening to these lullabies, even though this language was not one that the baby heard or was exposed to, the infants relaxed more. Lullabies are connected not only thematically, but musically with rhythmic and mantra-like similarities. Let's try it. I invite you to sing this simple Swahili lullaby. The words will probably be unfamiliar, but pay attention to how the rhythm and the mantra qualities lull us. But don't fall asleep, I'm not done yet. The words mean the current is very strong. Row, row. Repeat after me. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Ulele. Maliba makasi. Very nice. In the wisdom of the UU minister, Reverend Victoria Safford, she says, lullabies sound sweet and gentle, but they are potent. The way an incantation is potent, a magic spell, a prayer. Lullabies are often the effort to bring, to bear sufficient hope in scary times, sufficient love for the world, blessing this person suspended in the cradle of my arms or in my heart, but between the world of the ancestors and generations yet to come, and mindful then as now that every baby, every person, each of us is the exact fulcrum, the access, the hinge between past history and all that will come next. Today, says the poet, the ordinary miracles begin. Hope starts over. We try again to get it right. Lullabies give voice to that. They're infused with all of your doubt, all of your fear, your outrage, your love, your convictions. It seems to me that lullabies are not just for childhood, but for a lifetime. This is not some magical age where we stop needing comfort, reassurance, lulling, and soothing. We need it always. I hope you will join me in reconnecting or starting a relationship with a lullaby. They are often the songs that whisper important pieces of our lives. They will surprise you. I invite you now to sing this song written by the late folk musician Lore Wyatt, who was a good friend of Pete Seeger's, titled Let It Be Your Lullaby. Let's sing together. I'll be excited to hear about your lullabies. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Sue. Now is the time that our community dedicates for discussion around the focus of today's service, relying upon our covenant of good relations as a guide to ensure that all voices are welcomed and relationships are valued. We have until 10:55 for discussion. We have lots of time. As you approach the podium, please watch your step near the microphone because of the cord here. Form a line on either side of the room or raise your hand to receive a microphone where you are. Introducing yourself with your name and pronouns is welcomed. For those on Zoom, please raise a virtual hand and unmute once called on. Or you may type into the chat to have your comment read aloud.
Arne Schroeder, she, her. Renee Fleming is a well-known opera singer and a very interesting woman. She came up with the idea of traveling around to give recitals, including one that she was supposed to give during 2020 at the anniversary of the Union Theater. So, of course, it got postponed until, I guess, 2022. But the first half of her program, before she sings her recital program, is a discussion about the influence of music on the brain that features local experts. So wherever she goes in the world, she requires the organizers to gather together someone in their community that would know something about music. And of course, in Madison, we have the Wiseman Center, which studies early childhood development. And one of the speakers turned out to be my neighbor from across the street. I had no idea that this was her area of expertise, but she studies the influence of lullabies. And I'm hoping I'm getting this correct, that she said that every culture in the world has lullabies, but there's one culture in the world where the lullabies are written in such a way that it's the baby singing to the mother. And I believe it's maybe an Inuit culture. I thought it was really fascinating that that happened to happen one place in the world. And based on what Mary Sue was saying, I realized that the lullaby that I always sang to my kids because I knew the words and somehow it fit in my limited vocal range was 500 miles. Not a shirt on my back, not a penny on my to my name. I can't go back home this away. And it's very poignant to me to sing that, but if you listen to the words, it's a little bit like Rockabye Baby. It's not a happy vision of someday my child, you too could grow up to be penniless and not able to go home.
Hi there, Daniel Takarczyk, he. These past couple of weeks have been really nostalgic for me because of my grandfather's love of poetry and being able to share that with you all last week. That was a really great experience. But this week, as Karen was reading Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod, this is among the first memories that I have growing up in a very, very small fishing community on Lake Superior, is hearing this poem not just from different families, but from our own grandmothers and grandfathers as they would sing this to us, read it to us. And so, but it was very hard in both cases not to become emotional just at the impact that these songs still have, you know, on even as an adult, and to be able to hear these and immediately find yourself back as a child.
Johanna, she, her. So I'm going to do a couple things and hopefully do it quickly. Both my children did not take to the classical lullabies that I tried to sing them. Liam had a very intense Cyndi Lauper phase where we would sing Time After Time or True Colors before bedtime, but he really liked Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Aurora, on the other hand, took to You Are My Sunshine. I still sing it to her at night, but there was one night in particular that she had a lot of energy and she was really resistant to going to sleep, and I'm laying there and I'm rubbing her back and I'm just like humming for the millionth time, and I just hear this little voice in the darkness, "You are my sunshine, I've heard it a million times." And then the last thing is, so we were able to go to Iceland for a few days last summer. We went on this really awesome folklore tour around Reykjavik, and Icelandic folklore is very gruesome. So in terms of Icelandic lullabies, and anybody who has a better handle on this culture is I'm very open to correction. But what I remember is there's a tale about a woman who became pregnant, unmarried, abandoned her baby in the woods, and the baby became a demon. And now this demon eats naughty children. There's a lot of eating of naughty children in Icelandic culture. So this is the lullaby translated to English. Bium bium bambalo, bambalo dilly dilly do. My friend I lull to sleep, but outside waits a face at the window. We should not be loud. Many are sneaking around here. All night I have heard breathing at the window.
Hi, my name is KD. My pronouns are they, them. Thank you, Mary Sue. I don't know if Mary Sue remembered that I'm an expert in Swahili, and that lullaby was not Swahili. It was in Lingala, which is a major language of the Congo.
Thank you for correcting me.
But I thought I would teach you a Swahili lullaby, because the first time I went to Zanzibar, I lived with a family that had a lot of kids, and I asked them to teach me some songs that I recorded. And then a few years later, I had my first child, so I used to sing one of them that he taught to me, or that they taught to me, to my son. And I like the meaning, which I'll explain. I'm a bad singer, but I'll risk it. La la baby la la, mama me choka, ukifanya matata, mama achakasirika. And it's very appropriate. I think it means sleep, baby, sleep. Your mom is tired. If you cause problems, she will get angry.
Well, I love this. These comments of variations on a theme of lullabies. So I have two stories. My ex-husband, the baby daddy, he would get up in the middle of the night and hold my daughter, and really in a sweet voice and rocking her, he would sing, "Go to sleep, you little creep." But like as lovely of the way he sang it as you could possibly do. Story number two is I met Ron's, I think it was right before they got married, Ron's future son-in-law. And we had lunch or dinner in Baraboo, and he thanked Ron for singing House of the Rising Sun to Anna as a lullaby. And did she request that song, or you just kept...
She had no idea that he was so pleased that I was teaching her not to be a prostitute. I did sing a number of different lullabies, but I want to compliment Mary Sue. I doubt if in seminary or other places where you learn about speaking to groups of people that they encourage you to do things that would put them to sleep. So, way to go. Break the mold. I love it. And we didn't go to sleep.
Hi, thank you so much, Mary Sue. And you just brought back a really sweet memory for me, kind of a strange one. But when I was in high school, I had two very young brothers, and I was obsessed with learning French at the time. I ended up a French major in college, but I was obsessed with that. So somehow, I got a book of French nursery rhymes, and I would sing my brothers to sleep with French nursery rhymes. And one of my brothers, who were twins, really took to it, and he became a Russian major in college and then ended up getting his PhD in Czech literature. But since that time, he's always been obsessed with foreign languages. So of course it was my doing, right?
Anyone else? Those are delightful additions to the service. Thank you. Thank you all. So now our offertory. We are sharing our offering this quarter with the Leopold Community Assistance Network, which helps Leopold school families in crisis with eviction prevention funds, housing entry fees, immigration resources, and other needs. Our offertory music is The Pony Man by Gordon Lightfoot, performed by Ron Fry.
Working. As I said, I had a number of different songs that I would sing to my children. And one of them was Gordon Lightfoot's The Pony Man. And my kids, Greg and Anna, are now grown and they live in the Twin Cities. Anna has blessed me with three grandchildren, and I think others as well. But I was divorced from their mother, and that was after I'd sung these lullabies to the kids many times. And I liked the song, and I wanted to sing it again, but I could not.
What did I do? Oh, it fell off.
Now you can hear me better, huh? Anyhow, I was divorced from their mother, and I wanted to sing the song, and I couldn't get through it without tears, because it was just such a strong feeling that we had. But I occasionally worked on it to see if I could make progress. Some years went by, and finally I was up in the Twin Cities with Anna and her babies, and I was able to get through the song without crying, and then Anna cried. So these things are meaningful, aren't they? But I think it helped me to see that part of raising the kids carried on so that I could sing it on my own. So you also have to picture me tucking in a kid. When it's midnight on the meadow and the cats are in the shed, the river tells a story at the window by my bed. If you listen very closely, be as quiet as you can. In the yard, you'll hear him. It is the Pony Man. We're always there to greet him when he tumbles into town. He leads a string of ponies, some are white, some are brown. They never seem to kick or bite, they only want to play. They live on candy apples instead of oats and hay. When we are assembled, he gives us our command. We climb aboard our ponies as in a row they stand. Then down a road we gallop, and across the field we fly. Soon we'll all go sailing off into the midnight sky. As we gaily rock along beside the midnight sea, there's Greg and Lily, that's the dog, Anna and me and Mama. Pony Man's a leader, 'cause he's been this way before. He gives a hoop and a holler, wahoo, at Mr. Moon's front door. And as we stop to rest a while at the Soda River's glide, up to the ship comes a pirate ship, take us for a ride. And the Pony Man's the captain, the children are the crew. We go in search of treasure, I'll laugh the whole night through. When the hold is filled with gold and the sails begin to strain, the decks piled high with apple pie, we head for port again. Down a swirling staircase, how swift our ponies fly, to
till we're safely in our beds again before the sunbeams kiss the sky. When it's midnight on the meadow and the cats are in the shed, river tells a story at the window by my bed. Listen very closely, be as quiet as you can. In the yard you hear him, it is the pony man.
Thank you for giving new meaning to me of that song. That's awesome. Our closing words are, "My bed is a boat," written by Robert Louis Stevenson and read by Margaret Moses.
Margaret Moses, my pronouns are she, her. My bed is like a little boat. Nurse helps me in when I embark. She girds me in my sailor's coat and starts me in the dark. At night, I go on board and say good night to all my friends on shore. I shut my eyes and sail away and see and hear no more. And sometimes things to bed I take, as prudent sailors have to do. Perhaps a slice of wedding cake, perhaps a toy or two. All night across the dark we steer, but when the day returns at last, safe in my room beside the pier, I find my vessel fast.
Thank you. Our closing music is number 41 in the Gray Hymnal, "You That Have Spent the Silent Night," accompanied by Carlene Tuzinski. Please rise in body or spirit. We have a few announcements. Today, after the service, there's a visitor orientation. If you are interested in learning more about Prairie, please meet in the foyer by the welcoming table. Also today, after the service, Prairie's parents group, PUPS, is meeting. Families will enjoy a lunch together, and then parents will meet upstairs for a discussion. And next Sunday, Mary Sue will present again. The topic will be celebrating the three R's, rebirth, renewal, and resilience. And next Sunday in RE, they will celebrate springtime with an egg hunt. We have an announcement from nominating committee.
Hello there. We have such an amazing array of services here. I mean, the last two services, the poetry one and this one, I had tears at different times. Sometimes it's just highly intellectual and it sort of makes you want to go and do things. But We need more help here at Prairie. The nominating committee is happy to work with you, talk with you, answer questions, even if you're not completely decided on possibly taking on a new position. We just have to really keep the gears turning. We have a deadline of May 1st to get our new group in place. That is coming right up. Would you help steer us, inspire us, guide us, help us? The usual suspects are not necessarily the answer to everything. Could it be you that would help us? We need you, and we would be happy to talk to you. And we even have gone so far to discuss possibly spreading out between two people, sharing a position like the board secretary or the treasurer, so that you can do some, but you're not going to be as committed as having a really big job. Even if you're just thinking about it, please talk to Carlene or Heidi or Margaret or Barbara. That would be me, this Barbara. Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Did you have a Prairie-related announcement? Okay.
Hi, I'm Beth Butler, she, her. I'm having a ceremony on May 1st, Beltane, at 6 p.m. at the Savannah Circle in the UW Arboretum to honor the memory of Brooke Stratton, who was murdered and found on October 8th nearby. I have invited all members of Prairie and several other groups. It's a multi-religion ceremony using Catholic saints and the process of celebration from Obad, the order of bards, ovates, and druids. It's a simple ceremony invoking the Archangel Michael to bring peace to the nature that witnessed the murder and to honor Brooke Stratton, who lost her life there. I hope that maybe somebody would be interested in attending. Thank you.
Thank you. There are more announcements in your order of service and the News of the Week email. And at this time, we are stopping the recording.